John chapter 14, in the book of John chapter 14, there's an event that's on the horizon that I believe is going to happen very soon. Boy, there's a lot of things on the horizon. I'm sure last night you were all excited. You sat down in front of the television set and just sat there glued, just absorbing truth. Or whatever you thought it was. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? All right. I hope we can deal with some truth tonight. Amen. I believe the next great event on God's calendar that's recorded in His Word anyways is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible speaks of it in a number of different places, but He's coming again. John chapter number 14. He had just told them, he was going to be going away and so forth. And matter of fact, he just got done telling Peter he was going to deny him. And so now in chapter number 14, verse number 1, listen, notice what it says. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God what? Believe also in me. Wow. Now notice secondly, verse number 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Okay? So what's Jesus doing right now according to this verse? Preparing a place for you. If Jesus could in 6 days speak and everything we see, all the worlds, the universe, I mean the sun, the moon, the stars, all the beauties of this earth, if that took 6 days, and He told us this 2,000 years ago, and He's still preparing it. Ay, 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 huh? What is it going to be like? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Bible says, I have not seen, have you heard? Well, notice next says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, what's He saying to do? Read it with me. I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Okay? Now, a lot of folks, they say, boy, you know, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to see old Aunt Ruth. And I'm going to look up Grandma and all these things. Hey, listen. It's Jesus that's the important one of heaven. Never forget that. And so, who are we going to go be with? It's with Him. And where I am, He says, there ye may be also. Wow. What's He telling us here? He's saying, I am coming again. I will come again and receive you unto myself. First Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the fact that in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, or I got the wrong one, that's 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be caught up together, be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians talks about the trump of God sounding, then being in His presence. And what a glorious, glorious thing is about to happen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the privilege tonight to be in the house of the Lord. Thank You that one of these days, very soon, maybe even hours, we get to be in the presence of our Lord in the house of the eternal God. I pray, oh God, tonight that if there is one amongst us that doesn't know You, that will not be in Your presence, that You might convict their heart. But God, I pray tonight You might just cause our hearts to revel in the fact that we have this tremendous prospect ahead for us. And Lord, the things that it means tonight, help us, God, to understand these. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Go ahead and be seated. From John chapter 13 to chapter 16, we find what's called the Olivet Discourse. Just great big words. It means that in the a lot of this was spoken on the Mount of Olives. And so it's called the Mount or the Olivet. Olives, okay, Olivet Discourse. And it has some of the great truth in the Word of God. What tremendous chapters. And then we find in chapter 17, just right after that, the Lord goes and prays. And it's recorded for us, and it's His great intercessory prayer for us. And so, chapter 13 through 17 are some very favorite chapters of mine, and I enjoy reading this section every couple of months when I do it. It's a pleasure, and wow, it just is full of meaning. In this chapter, or in the chapter before, the Lord's saying to him, hey, I'm going to be leaving. And I'm going to leave. Matter of fact, notice verse number 36. Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And then he begins this discourse and telling him, hey, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry about it. They're showing, I think, some signs of distress over this announcement. And the Lord utters these words. Have you ever had some words of distress? Something that just kind of bothered you a little bit. And somebody came along and said something else that just kind of calmed you down. Amen. And this is what takes place. And the Lord is just saying, hey, don't worry about a thing. I'm coming back. I'll be back. Don't worry about a thing. The knowledge of the return of Christ, I believe, does three things for the child of God. One of the things I think it does is give them an understanding of the Bible. Okay? Gives us a better understanding of the Bible. And I'll share a little bit about that with you in a few moments. I believe also that that will also cause us to keep our lives in order. 1 John says that when we really believe this, we'll keep ourselves pure. Is your house clean? Your house clean? Doc and Dee are coming over tomorrow. See you. Are you going to keep it clean? You're going to dirty it up because Doc and Dee are coming? You liar. No, you would keep it clean. I ain't coming to your house then. All right. And we would do that. Wouldn't we? Listen, I've gotten in trouble a few times in the past because I invited somebody over and Miss Springer, she didn't know that. You know what that does, Tom? You've done the same thing, I can tell. It don't set too well. I know what she said. She wanted a chance to clean it up. And our reaction as guys is, hey, it was good enough for me, it's good enough for company. But that's not the way women think. No, they don't think that way. And by the way, when you and I realize the Lord's coming back, we ought to be like a woman in that regard. Amen? And so we want Him to find us doing the right things, being the right kind of person. Another thing, I believe that it gives us a greater zeal for the lost. If you know that you've got a relative or a friend and Jesus is coming back tomorrow, what do you reckon you'd do? You'd probably take another opportunity and you'd make it and you'd want to go see them to try to warn them and tell them you need to get saved. Think about Lot for a moment. Lot went down to Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot, he got all tangled up in all their stuff and all their filth and all that stuff. And the angels came. And they said, we're going to destroy this place. And he said, you better get your family together because we're going to take you out of here. And what did Lot do? He went and talked to some son-in-laws he'd never talked to before. Now they wouldn't listen to him, but he went. And that's what happens in our lives when you and I have this real understanding, hey, Jesus is coming back. Well, first of all, the truth of His coming, the fact that Jesus is coming shows the truth of the Word of God. Did you know that 1 out of 20 verses in the New Testament speak of His second coming? Seriously. Let me read you a few. Acts chapter 1, verse number 10. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. As He ascended, He's going to descend. Many believe from this very same spot that He left, He will come back to. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, 51 verse 52, I kind of mentioned this a while ago, but listen to this. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now the word sleep there is really talking about we are We've died. Okay, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We call that the rapture. I find no Bible prophecy that has to be fulfilled before this takes place. And when the trumpet sounds and the shout is made, I mean, this is so instantaneous. He says, it's like the twinkling of an eye. And God's going to take us into His presence and change us all at the same time. That'd be good. Amen, Roseanne? You're not going to take your cane to heaven, are you? No. And I don't know if you got false teeth or not, but you're going to have a full head of teeth. I think you are, because in heaven you're going to have a meal. So I assume you're going to eat it. You won't have those glasses anymore. Be gone. Amen. Her hair will be the same, because it's been the same for 400 years. And, well, not quite that long. I'm picking up where Jeff left off. And, I mean, all those aches and those pains. Does that sound glorious? Amen. By the way, older folks, I believe aches and pains make us want to be in God's presence more. I think it's God's way of preparing us. And also sometimes preparing our families. Have you ever seen a loved one suffer so much that when they finally went to heaven, you said, oh, praise God. They're away from their suffering and their pain. What was God doing? Preparing them and you. Isn't He marvelous? I mean, stop and think about it a minute. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, He says, behold, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. There's a good verse for you. Then just stop right there. Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. By the way, God doesn't say don't sorrow for dead ones, but not the way lost people do. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What's all that mean? The rapture, which is about to take place, I believe it could be any moment, next minute, next hour, next day, next week, next year. I believe it's getting close. And maybe closer than I even think. And that trumpet goes off and the shout is made. The Bible says the dead in Christ, those who have already died, their bodies are in the grave, their souls are the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, boom, they're going to be reunited. The body's going to come up out of the grave. And when it's coming up, God's going to make it perfect, just like that. Somebody said, well, what if it's disintegrated? God created everything, remember? And instantaneously they're brought up. Somebody says, well, why in the world do they get to go first and we which are alive go up second? I know it's a smart aleck answer. They have 6 feet farther to go. I don't know why. It's just the way God's going to do it. It's going to be so quick that who cares? The big thing is going to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Listen, it's 1 John chapter 3. I alluded to this a while ago. Behold, now are we the sons of God, doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Here's what I referred to. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. This is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning, plaiting the hair and the wearing of gold, putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. I have no idea why I wrote this down. It's not about second coming. That's a great verse. Amen? How many have ever made a mistake? Somebody needed that here tonight, so I would not say it a mistake. If these verses are not true, then we can't really believe the Bible on anything. Isn't that true? And we'd be living a false hope. The Word of God has always proven itself to be true. The second coming of Christ in what we call the rapture will again bear this out. It is going to happen. A lot of folks say, boy, there's prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes this day. I don't know what it is, but I do know this, that there are many things that are taking place right now that looks very much like what says in the book of Revelation could happen tomorrow. Very, very much. It's exciting to see. It's interesting, the nations that are right now, riled up against Israel. The very ones that it talks about in the Word of God. Interesting times we live in. Wow. Well, I believe there's another reason that we ought to stop and think about the coming of Christ. And that is, His coming is to start something. How many believe that sin is increasing in our day? Is that hard to believe? 2 Timothy, if you got your Bible, I want to read here just a few verses. 2 Timothy and chapter number 3. In verse 1 it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Sound familiar? "Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." Could that be the gay lifestyle? Very much. "Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded." Boy, look at this one. "Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Is that the day we live in? Very much so. God, by the way, is long-suffering. God has been very patient. But do not misunderstand the patience, the long-suffering God, as meaning that He is overlooking or tolerating sin. Bobby, you raised a girl and a boy. In many ways very much alike, in many ways very much different. You are a fairly strong disciplinarian. Or very strong, I don't know. You describe yourself very strong. Alrighty. And did you haul off and wallop them the first time they did something every time? You did? Holy cow. Did you, Roseanne? I thought I was pretty strict. I'm glad I didn't grow up under your leadership. My goodness. Wop, wop, wop. Hmm? Tough woman there. Now imagine a few times you kind of held back a little bit. But if it build up, do you ever have it build up? That's what I'm talking about. It wasn't real big, but then a little bit and a little bit and finally, okay? That's what I'm talking about. That's what God's position is here. Don't misunderstand, because listen, if you've done something and haven't been judged for it, don't think you're getting away with it. And this will be made right. A lot of folks misunderstand that. Listen to what it says here. It says, "Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Why does he say that? Because we find that the wrath of God has been building. And there comes a time of the unleashing of God's wrath. When the children of God are taken out of this world, what we call the rapture, we find then that the wrath of God begins to come on this world. We call it a period, we call it the tribulation. How many have ever heard of the Great Tribulation? It's a time, according as we study the Word of God, it's going to be 7 years long. And I mean some horrible things are going to transpire here on the earth. And the things that we look at today as with nations lining up and all these things, I mean, it's like, hey, it can happen anytime. It talks about during that period of time, there will be a man that comes on the scene who will be a world ruler. He will control everything. He will have a pen and he will have a phone, to quote something I heard. And I mean, with his executive orders, he controls the world, not just the United States. And people will follow after him in great wonder. And they'll be deceived by him. Can we think of some world leaders that have been like that in the past or present? Go back 60 years to Adolf Hitler. They thought he was a god. He was nothing more than a horrible killer. And we see this, I mean, people are going to, they're going to accept it. Understand, Christians will be gone. We're the salt of the earth. The Holy Spirit of God, He doesn't leave, but He works through us and we'll be gone. And he who withholds is not going to be withholding any longer. And it's referring to the Spirit of God, I believe. And so we're going to find this horrible time of wrath come upon the earth. And it's what the book of Revelation is all about. It will result in over half of the population of the world dying horrible deaths. Over half. Where's our population at right now? 7 point something billion. We're getting close to 8 billion. Can you imagine in the period of 7 years of having 4 billion people die? It is incredible. But His coming is to start something. It's to take us out and allow, I mean, the devil will be rampaging, but it will be a horrible period of time. But not only is it to start something, and I've already mentioned, but it's His coming is to get someone, huh? And Christians as salt are going to be taken away. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It says, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And when you and I are taken up and the Spirit of God who dwells in us does not have any people to dwell any longer, I think His influence might still be felt to some degree, but basically He's saying here His letting power, His withholding power is going to not be there. Did you realize that it's Christians really who are hindering the wrath of God on the rest of the world? Do you understand that the more Christians get persecuted, the worse off a nation is? It's everywhere. Wherever you go, you find that. Where Christ and Christians can have freedom, it's great for all the people. That's what America has experienced. And the chains that bind us are being more and more because Christians are being suppressed. And we're keeping shut up too. But we're going to be taken out of the way. The Great Tribulation will come upon this world. The coming of Christ gives us great purpose. He's going to bring us to Himself. It gives us, I think, also great prospect. And I say that because we go through a lot of different things in life. But knowing Jesus is going to come, helps us through those times. Hey, He's going to take me out. No matter what it is, we know that we have a Savior that's on our side. Amen? For those who are lost, it means when the Lord comes, the wrath of God is going to be upon them. And most likely, those who are lost, when the Lord comes, will never get saved. Now, I know there's a great series called the Left Behind series, and I realize there will be people that get saved, but I've never seen where it's going to be a worldwide revival, because it just seems like totally the opposite. Praise God, His grace is in every age. Amen. But oh, how we need to turn to Him now. And praise the Lord, we have that privilege and that opportunity. If we don't, we see the wrath of God, we have death awaiting, and eventually the lake of fire. Think about something for a moment. The Bible says that in hell He lifted up His eyes being in torments. He talks about the flames that are surrounding Him. We find this in the book of Luke, chapter 16, talking about the rich man who died and went to hell. At the great white throne judgment, when you read about it in Revelation chapter 20, we find at the great white throne judgment that those who have died and gone to hell stand before God. They're judged for their works. Do you know where they're sent then? Not to hell. Matter of fact, this place is so bad, hell is cast into it. It's called the lake of fire. And I wonder, my goodness, something worse than hell. And here's this lake of fire. If there was no pain, if there was no agony, if there was no gnashing of teeth, hell would still be a horrible place. If somehow you could turn on the lights so it wasn't dark anymore, the lake of fire would still be a horrible place. Do you know why? No presence of God. No presence of God. Nothing good. Did you know the word good is a derivative of God? There's a reason for that. God is good. Anything good. This place was created for the devil and his angels. The Bible says that hell has enlarged herself. And you and I, when we will not follow after God and His salvation, that's where we go. And at the great white throne judgment, even hell is cast in the lake of fire, engulfed in its flames for all of eternity. Without God, without anything that's good. I mean, think about it. You will hunger for eternity. No food. You will burn for eternity. It's a place of torment. It's called darkness, eternal darkness. You say, well, how can fire burn without light? Do you know what the hottest fire is? It's no light. Oh, by the way, did you know that God is light? God's presence won't be there, so there won't be any light there. Have you ever been in total darkness? It's frightening. Horrible. Bible talks about gnashing of teeth, the screams of the damned all about. A horrible place. That's what I deserve. But thank God for Jesus. Amen. He came, and what did He do? He died upon the cross that I now have to pay for my sins and then end up in a place called hell. Because if I live without God and die without God, then I'm going to spend an eternity without God. And praise the Lord, I have that privilege. Have you accepted Him? And if you have, are you expecting Him? It'll do some things for you. Father, tonight I pray You work in hearts and lives. Lord, only You know our hearts. But God, I pray that You might do that. If there'd be one here tonight that's without You, oh God, I pray that You'd cause them to come to Me or one of these adults or one of these adults to go to another adult. Lord, that we might get it taken care of. Lord, I pray that we might really see the wonderful beauty of the fact that You're coming again. Lord, rather than this horrible place of hell and the lake of fire, we have the presence of God and the beauties of heaven and for all eternity because of Your grace, Your love to us. I pray You might bless we go our separate ways tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.